welcome to Sunshine Studios, home of the Barry Bow Show, and also home of the Steve Piasecki podcast. Dead Stripper is the first book in the Steve Piasecki series. But a word of caution before you continue. Dead Stripper contains explicit content, such as strong language and the depiction of graphic sex and violence, including murder. Therefore, this podcast might not be suitable for all audiences. Forewarned is forearmed. And now, into Chapter 29 of Dead Stripper, when the whole gang goes to the Broadway Bar and Grill for a rousing celebration. 3 days later, shamrocks, leprechauns, and four-leaf clovers are still in place at the Broadway Bar and Grill, left over from St. Patrick's Day. They're perfect mood setters for our celebration, and the gang's all here. My friend and Jess, plus Jess got Margot to tag along, hoping that my friend and Margot might hit it off. There's Bernie and Roy, of course. From Media Station is my crime-busting partner Ruth, plus Danny, the man bun manager. Farrah and Candy from Babes in Toyland are both here and both looking hot. And last but not least are Chief George and Detectives Bishop and Gerber from CID. Instead of adversaries, we're suddenly allies. We invited the district attorney and his chief prosecutor, but they declined. We tried to contact Dr. Nakamura and Agent Santangelo, but they didn't return our calls. We wanted to invite the judges for my arraignment and my preliminary hearing, but Bernie said it would be inappropriate for them to attend. We also invited Sam Cohen and Sal the bouncer from Babes in Toyland. Sam said he was too busy, and Sal declined. I guess Sal still harbors some hard feelings. Tony set up more tables in the alcove, prepared an awesome buffet, and supplied 2 cases of champagne. Half an hour later, if it weren't for Ruth here, I'd put my arm around her shoulder. I'd still be a murder suspect. She smiles a proud smile and gets a well-deserved ovation. Don't forget the part you played, Bernie says. It's my turn to smile as another ovation comes. When things settled down, Bernie asked Detective Bishop, "How'd you get the judge to confess?" He knew his goose was cooked as soon as he saw Ruth's video that showed him entering Miss Forsyth's apartment. Then we showed him the video we got from Denny here. Denny smiles. "There was the judge," Detective Bishop continues, "entering Miss Forsyth's building. Plus, we told him that Mr. Piasecki, you can call me Steve by now." She smiles at me. "We told him that Steve identified his car. Plus, we seized the judge's phone, and his call history listed dozens of calls to Miss Forsyth, including one shortly before she was murdered." So he broke down and actually started crying. "Like a pussy," Ruth says. Everyone laughs. "For sure," Detective Bishop says. His lawyer tried to intervene, but the party was over. "Did he say why he did it?" Bernie asks. "She was blackmailing him," Detective Gerber says, "about his sexual improprieties with her. He's a married man, and it kept getting more and more expensive to keep her quiet. So he went there that night to try to pay her off for once and for all, and end it. But she refused to give in." "What about the bathtub scene?" Roy asked. "Did he do that all himself?" "He did," Detective Gerber says. "She was getting ready to take a bath when he got there, and the drugs were already laid out in the bathroom. So after he strangled her, all he had to do was take off her robe and lift her into the bathtub." "But," Detective Bishop says, "he made the mistake of forgetting to remove her jewelry. And that created suspicion from the very beginning." Yeah, but you thought I did." "Yes, we did. Right up until you showed up with the video." "What was your trigger?" Bernie asked me. I finally remembered something the dead stripper told me during the ride to her apartment. She mentioned a nosy neighbor and her camera. "I'm the nosy neighbor," Ruth says with a huge smile. "So I took a chance. It took some convincing, but Ruth finally let me in her apartment, and praise the Lord, she still had the video from that night. And the rest," the chief says, "as they say, is history." "How is it," Roy asks the chief, "that you let these 3 civilians tag along to watch everything?" "They drove a hard bargain. Steve said they weren't going to share the video if we didn't let them observe. Steve said he'd destroy it and we'd never find out who the killer was. And we believed him. A lot of mingling and getting to know each other follows. My friend and Margo start to hit it off. Detective Gerber and Denny do some chatting with Farrett and Candy. Roy and Detective Bishop chat it up. Bernie and the Chief talk business. And for me, it's a triple celebration. We got the killer. I serviced Jess this morning. And then I checked my email and found one from Rose Goldenberg. Hip, hip, hooray. She purchased my story, and Excalibur magazine is going to publish A Taste for Revenge in its July edition. I'm going to get paid for my story. But more important, after 6 rejections, I'm finally going to become a published writer. That's hurdle number 1. But one thing's still bugging me. I wish there was some way to find out who sold the drugs to the dead stripper. And that's the end. I hope you enjoyed Dead Stripper. If you'd like to purchase an ebook or paperback, it's available on Amazon. And episode 2 of the Steve Piasecki series will be coming along soon. It's called Si Hablo Español. Yes, I understand Spanish. Where Steve gets entangled with both the Sinaloa drug cartel and a Colombian invisible cartel. Thanks for being a part of this. Until next time. See you.